Every seller has a story. I'm Georgia Mampanis, and welcome to our newest episode of the eBay Seller Spotlight Podcast, where each month we spotlight sellers with a story to share with us. Our guest this episode sells vintage items on eBay, as well as in her brick and mortar store. Some clients include TV, movie production and streaming platforms, as well as retail companies looking for inspiration for their upcoming designs. Welcome, Elena Martinez.
Hi, Georgia. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for being here. We were at your store not too long ago, and I must say we were all in heaven. Well, at least the ladies that were there, we were all dying over some of the amazing finds. It's like, how can we even record a video here? Like, all we want to do is shop.
Oh, it was so much fun. It is an ADD world there. So
let's jump right in. Tell us about yourself. What do you sell?
So I sell vintage and antique clothing and accessories. So that means the items that I have date from the 1980s all the way through the 1800s.
Can you name a few like cool pieces you have off the top of your head at the front of your store?
I mean, we do anything from like wild cocktail dresses from the 70s. We do diamond rings from the 20s, all kinds of crazy stuff. We do lingerie, pretty much like any wearable that you're going to see.
And I must mention that really amazing pair of design earrings I just had to pick up. I couldn't leave without.
I think you were in the store for like 10 minutes and you were like, these are mine. They will be mine.
So when did you start selling?
I started selling a little bit here and there in college, and then I opened my boutique in 2003. Back then, it was about 500 square feet, and then I expanded selling on eBay in 2005. So I've been in the biz for over two decades now.
And what were you doing before then?
College.
So you started right out of college.
I did, yeah. So while I was in college, I worked at a vintage store in New York, but I always loved it. I always loved going thrifting with my mom and finding great pieces. And then once I graduated, I spent about a year collecting and working on my business plan. Yeah, I opened about a month after I turned 23.
You knew this was your passion, because I must admit, I think I took like a year or two off out of college because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So the fact that you knew and you went in full throttle, good for you.
Thanks. Yeah, I always wanted to work for myself. And one thing that my parents always said to me is, you know, if you started out a year in business and it doesn't go well, it's about the cost of a year in school. They felt that the opportunity that I would have, and I don't want to say failures, but the lessons learned would just be as valuable as a year in college.
That's a great way to look at it. Earlier this year, as I mentioned, we were going crazy in your store. You had so much, and not only on your brick and mortar in front, but also in your showroom. Can you share what are some of the coolest pieces you've sourced and why?
Sure. So a couple of things that you didn't get to see because they've just came in, which are really exciting, is we did recently get an Anne Lowe gown. Anne Lowe was an African-American designer who actually designed Jackie Kennedy's wedding dress. That was really exciting. And then we also got an amazing Chanel suit that the seller told me was from the 60s. But we weren't really sure, and the fabrication was very different back then. And we looked it up and actually found it on the cover of Vogue magazine in 1961.
Okay, so they didn't lie.
She didn't lie. But, you know, when you have generations and people pass things down, stories can kind of change. We've often had people bring us pieces that say, this was my grandmother's real ostrich skin purse. And I look at it and I have to break the news. It's actually vinyl and plastic. There is a lot of research that goes into it. So it was nice that the story that came with the piece was actually correct this time.
So we did see that quilt from the 1800s with all these signatures. How do you do research on that? Like, how do you know? What are you searching?
I have to admit, after two decades, there is still more to learn. I always say that in whatever we're looking at. I start with a lot of online resources. Like, if it's not already in like the peripheral of my brain, I go online a lot. We also use books a lot, which is kind of funny having a lot of staff that are in their 20s. They're like, what do you mean books, right? Because they automatically go online to a search engine. The Vintage Fashion Guild is an incredible resource online, and they actually have a label resource. So you can click through and you'll actually see how the labels in clothing has changed over the decades. Depending on who was designing for those companies and depending on what line it was, the label would change. For jewelry, silver items especially, we go to a website called 925-1000 because sterling silver is usually marked to 925. That is a great global resource. And then we also look for sellers online or blogs online that have a lot of data and maybe have years in the business. I get a little concerned when we see somebody who is new to selling or just new to researching, not to say that what they have isn't of value, But I just like to know that it's somebody who's a little bit more seasoned if we're going to put our business name on it, that we know that it came from some vetted information places.
Totally. That's great. Okay. So, you know, we did mention a little bit in your intro that you have sold to some movie/TV productions. Are you allowed to mention any of those names?
I can mention some of, well, the clothing companies we sell to are all over the place. Anywhere we've sold to, Love Shack Fancy, Free People, Urban Outfitters. A lot of times they'll use those pieces for inspiration. In terms of production, we've sold to Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV, Amazon. Chances are, if you're watching a TV show or movie and it has vintage clothing or period clothing, as we call it, even if it's in the background, most of that is coming from a vintage store. We've been really lucky to connect with some of these stylists, but we can't really talk specifically about the production names until the pieces come out.
Okay. Can you talk about the pieces specifically? I got this, like, sources there, sent them this blue dress. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think one piece that we sold, which I was super excited about, was a 1920s green silk teddy, like a lingerie piece. Normally, what you see from that time period is like a peachy pink color, maybe an off-white. I was lucky enough to find a minty green one, which was so pretty. And it had this beautiful lace that was made with like a netted lace that was embroidered with silk ribbons. I put that online. It immediately got snatched up. And then the next email message that we got was, we need it overnighted to Europe. So, which we do quite often for productions, which always you have to add an additional cost. It can get a little hairy. But that was, I think, because that color was so special. And that's another thing to look into if people are doing research, as you mentioned earlier, was make sure you're comparing apples to apples. Color, condition, maybe there's some alterations made. All of that wears into when it was from and what the value is. Like, we just got a great Chanel skirt, and it's very obvious that the zipper was replaced. So that's going to affect the value.
So, I mean, your brick and mortar is crazy. There's got some amazing stuff in it. Why not just the brick and mortar? Like, why did you start on eBay? When did it come into play?
A couple years after being open in the retail shop, you got to think, I was coming from a store in New York, right? So we always had a constant flow of people walking in. And being in the town that I'm from, and also I was like at the end of the street, I couldn't really afford early on to be right in the center of things. We didn't have a lot of walk-in traffic. So I just couldn't find myself just sitting there all day and hoping somebody walked in the door. This was also really early years of social media. So you really couldn't put yourself out there. Like, there was no Pinterest. Facebook and Instagram didn't really exist. They were difficult for people. Instead of just relying on people walking in, I thought, okay, my store is open 7 days a week. I'm not getting the foot traffic I want. I'm going to branch online. And by being on eBay, my store was now open 24/7 and globally. That was exciting that I could list stuff during the day when people weren't coming in. And at night, I would go home, go to bed, and wake up in the morning, and I had a couple of sales.
And you just recently, I mean, you've been blowing up on TikTok and IG recently. So you're expanding even more. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bringing more eyes onto your stores.
Yeah. And it's nice to share the story of these pieces too. I think when you do something every day, to some people, it kind of loses that interest, right? It becomes normal to you to do what you do. And then when you start to tell the story of people coming in and selling us stuff, phone calls that we get, productions we sell it to, it's exciting. So we're having a good time on social media, kind of sharing that story and answering questions that people have about it.
You talk about how you got involved with eBay, but why did you get involved with eBay for charities?
So one of the things when I saw that pop up many years ago was that the advantage of you could donate a portion directly into charity and then your listing would get highlighted. I had to kind of identify what charity was important to me. I thought, well, I donate to charity all the time. I might as well. My husband was born with cystic fibrosis. Many people with that, especially 10, 15, 20 years ago, didn't live very long. So he is a rare breed to be an adult. And wanting to really invest in people like him who deserve a future, I started just donating 10% of every single sale. So here we are. I think I've had over 6,000 sales so far on eBay, and 10% of probably 90% of them have gone directly to that charity.
Wow. And there's going to be many more to come.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. That's a great story. And, you know, he's a big part of the business. So
he is. He's a huge part of the business. Yeah.
Yeah. We got the pleasure to meet him as well. So you've clearly found some very rare pieces, such as the Schiaparelli clutch you did show us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for showing us such an amazing piece. Luckily for you, you do know designers and you were able to see its worth. unfortunately, not everyone's like that. They, you know, there's a lot of missed opportunities because they don't have the knowledge you do. What would you suggest is the best course of action for someone who gets their hands on a piece they know nothing about?
I think an important thing is to really take your time. If you do a quick search and information doesn't automatically pop up that exactly shows what you have, take your time, look at different resources. And again, look at color, condition, see if you can identify an era. And remember too that pieces, noting towards clothing and jewelry, because that's, you know, what I know, is things have been repaired, especially if they're decades old. Although the zipper really wasn't used prior to the 40s, you might see a zipper put in a 1920s dress because the snaps maybe failed and then somebody put in a zipper. We've seen labels sewn into items because maybe it fell out of something in cleaning and they sewed it back in by hand. It doesn't necessarily mean that item wasn't made by that company, but it could have been a repair. Jewelry too, we get into clip-ons versus pierced earrings. I mean, the majority of pierced earrings in the Victorian era actually were pierced, and then we transitioned to the clip and then back into pierced, but people would adjust things to fit them. Really look at, like, do you see solder marks? Do you see repairs made? And just take your time.
That is very, very great advice. Melina, where can listeners find you and your store online?
In addition to eBay, of course, I am on Instagram and TikTok. So it's Miss Melena or Miss Melena's Vintage. So it's MSMALENA. I should pop up. You should see my face. And we add new stuff all the time. I mean, you saw people come in to sell stuff in the store probably 10 to 20 times a week. So there's always new things.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you. And I'm so excited to see a lot more of your video content where you share your stories of some of your finds.
Thank you. Enjoy those earrings.
Oh, I will. Melena Martinez sells on eBay under the store name Melena's Vintage Boutique. Check out some of her sought-after, rare, and unique pieces, whether it is to gain inspiration, you know, on film wardrobe, fashion design, or even your own closet. We hope you'll join us on our next episode where we'll shine the spotlight on another seller with an amazing story to share. I'm your host, Georgia Mampanis. Jim Griffith is our editor-in-chief. The eBay Seller Spotlight podcast is produced by Libsyn and Podcast 411.